In a world that's often full of chaos and confusion and challenges, we long to hear from God. We long to hear His voice. We long to have guidance. Well, today, out of the life of Gideon, Pastor Tim challenges us to hear the voice of God. Thanks for joining us.
Judges chapter 6. Why don't you stand with me at verse number 7. I'm so used to using the screen. I always have my Bible with me, but I always use the screen. Let me make sure where we're at. Judges 6, 7 through 10, we are. And it says, when the Israelites had cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites and said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and I brought you out of the house of slavery. And I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who are oppressed you. And drove them out before you and gave you their land. Does this sound familiar? Last week, he said the same thing to Joshua. They keep saying this over and over again. They keep reminding themselves. You know, when God, you know, sends a prophet, he reminds them of what he has done. And it says, for you and gave you the land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not pay a reverence to the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not given heed to my voice. You have not given heed to my voice. I want you to, you can be seated. You have not given heed to my voice. How much does God desire for us to hear His voice? How much? A bunch, isn't it? A whole bunch. You know, does He want us to live in fear? He doesn't. Well, He don't want us to live in fear. Man says, "What takes away fear?" You know, we often say, "I'm fear of this." I meet some people said, "I'm afraid of anything." Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a big decision is coming, and we are just have fear to make those decisions in our lives. We have fear for different things. You know, just great things or great moments in our life are missed. Because we fear something. And I look back on my life, if I had walked through that fear and allowed that fear to grip me, would I be here right now standing before you? Well, I heard this a story one time in out of Nashville. I went to church in a right down off of where it was called a Belmont church, one of the best churches I've ever been in through a college. And there was a young lady, this person was telling this a story. So there was a young lady that she found herself a pregnant, not a husband, no support group, nothing. And she was gripped with fear on what was she supposed to do with this. What should she do? She was crying out to God, I don't want to have an abortion. But I don't know what else to do. And so she went to church that Sunday and she found herself there in that wonderful church service. And she began to say, Lord, if you are up there, if you hear me, if you see my pain, and I just need for someone to go up front and knock on the communion table three times. 1, 2, 3. I got to have it, Lord. I got to have an answer with all of this. And so as the pastor was preaching the gospel, as he was going at it and stuff, and somewhere in his sermon, he stopped and said, somebody needs to hear this today. Three knocks. And she sat there and realized how much that Jesus loved her. But the interesting thing is, she wasn't there that Sunday to tell the story. I guess who was there? Her unborn son at the time that had grown up, he was 20-something years old. Begin to tell that story about his mama. Isn't that a great story? And I sat there and I listened to that story. And I think to myself, if she had given in to fear, she had really just given in to that fear of life. There's no support system. I cannot raise this child. You know, I can't. And often we say those things to God. God, I can't. No. I can't handle this. This is too much for me to handle. And we often say that God's not going to give us more than we can handle, and that's a verse somewhere. That's not in the Bible anywhere. I want y'all to realize that. There's not a verse that actually says that. Now, I do agree that God is always going to be there and give us what we need to handle whatever. But we cannot go quote scripture and say, okay, I just want us to understand that. But in the midst of all this, she heard from the Lord. She heard his voice in a way. And he showed her that he loved her and he had cared for her. Think about it for a moment. That son is now a preacher of the gospel. What if she had given in to fear? See how fear can grip us? Fear can grip us. We have 52 gifts for Angel Tree. And some of you might be looking at your bank account and said, I can't do it. I cannot give any more money. I'll tell you this. You buy and let God be God. I feel like at the end of the day, when Sister Darlene is out there at the admission center desk, all 52 are going to be gone today. Fear. It grips us. It leads us down a path that we don't want to go. It's that we should have made that step with whatever that God was calling us to, or even in the simple things of life, that we should have just, but that fear kept us from doing these things. I mean, when I went snow skiing for the first time, I looked across. Yeah, this might be interesting. Because I'm not the smallest person in the world, you know. I love, you know, when us big guys, you know, just got all this stuff, when we fall, we just bounce, you know, for a while. It's great. I love to sit on the, you know, sideline and watch this big guys and very few big ladies, okay, and just bounce. Oh, my goodness. Patrick tells a story. My wife Heidi went, and she was down and had fallen down. Patrick was going to help her, and he comes zooming down the mountain. Patrick had not learned how to stop yet. He said in the midst of it, there was these flags areas. Well, Russ, you were there, weren't you? He couldn't stop. This flag area, he began to hit those ropes of flags, and this pole was going boom, 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 boom behind him as he was going. And Heidi was like, oh, Lord, I'm going to die. Fear, though, it is something that we deal with for a lot of us often. That we have a fear of the future. We have a fear of the past. We have the fear of the right and now. We have fear if we forgive someone that they might turn around and do it to us again. Fear. Can we hear God's voice today? Do you have a desire to hear God's voice? I'm going to have to hurry today. In the Judges chapter 6, 7 through 10, we find the Israelites again. You know, God had delivered them. Put them in the land of Canaan, and once again, we find, you know, last week, Joshua says, who, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You remember that last week? You know, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He said, today, you have to choose who are you going to serve today. He said, you need to choose today, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we find now, a few years later, here we are again, the Israelites not listening to the Lord, not hearing his voice, and begins to chase after things. They find themselves again roped in a cave, roped in places that the Lord had given them this land. Now they have rescinded back into some areas living in fear because of disobedience. Because of disobedience. And so a prophet has to show up on the scene. They need to hear God's voice. And so in the midst of all this, a prophet comes on in Judges 6, 12 through 17. we hear these things. It said, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you. You are a mighty warrior. In other words, he's called a Gideon. And he's calling him, and he says these things to him. Listen how beautiful this is. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said to him, the Lord is with you. Have we heard that before? Said it to Moses, I am with you. He said it to Joshua, I am with you. And he says it here to Gideon. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you. You are a mighty warrior. And Gideon answered him, but sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all these wonderful deeds that our ancestors recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has cast us off and given us into the land of Midian. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in his might of yours and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. I hereby commission you. Boy, that's a good statement, isn't it? My goodness, when I was reading this, I was like, I like that. The Lord said, I commission you. And he responded, but sir, I love it. We're so much like this. How can I deliver Israel? My clan is the weakness in Nasa. And I'm the least in my family. Listen to Gideon here. He says, our clan, our tribe is the least of all these tribes. And in the midst of all these tribes and this family, I'm the least. Listen to what the Lord says. Okay, but I'm with you. No, you don't understand. My tribe, my clan is the least. And in the least of that, my family is the least. In the midst of my family, I'm the least. And the Lord responds, but I'm with you. And you shall strike down the Midianites, every one of them. Then he said to him, if now I have favor with you, then show me a sign that is you who speak with me. Gideon saying to the Lord, okay, well, I'm going to need a sign. How can I sign? I need a sign. The Lord was speaking, wasn't he? I will be with you. I want you to understand that. He has a promise to Moses and to Joshua and now to Gideon. I will be with you. We would think that would be enough to hear this verse, I will be with you. For Gideon, he recognized how weak he was. He recognized those things in him. And the fear began. I would think for Gideon, said, huh? Lord, you don't know who I am. I'm the weakest of the weak. That scares me. That scares me. It's like these guys, you know, they're muscle bound and they got all this going on. Fear began to grip him, I believe. And he says these things, Lord, I need more. He says, I need a sign. I need a sign. Have you ever asked the Lord for a sign? How many of us? Say amen if you have. Well, pretty much if you've been a Christian very long, you say, Lord, I really need a sign on this one. When I was going to marry Heidi, I said, Lord, please give me a sign to make sure this is okay. Make sure she's the one. I need a big sign. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, I'm kidding. She's not here to defend herself today. She might be watching. I need a hush. He says, I need a sign. Because he recognized some things in his life. Now, we often think that doubt is a very bad thing. Would you agree with that? It's been preached that doubt's a bad thing through the years. If you think that, just say amen again. You know, it's been preached that way, that doubt's a very bad thing. You know what? You know, if you camp out there, it's a word I say a lot in counseling. If you camp out there, then doubt is a very bad thing. If you camp out there, yes, a doubt will really extinguish anything that God has for you. It really will. But in the moments of doubt, God can show us how great he is. In the moments of doubt, God can really show us how wonderful he is, how powerful he is, how he can just give, and how he can show us the way. But we just cannot stay there. Listen, out of the goodness of God and his love for Gideon, he wants to erase that doubt. He wants to erase that doubt out of you today, whatever's going on in your life. In the midst of all this, Dallas Willard, he wrote a book called Hearing God. He says, if you want to hear God, God speaks through circumstances, in oppressions of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and Bible scripture. When these three things are present and they agree with one another, be sure the direction they point is in that God is saying something to us. If we see circumstances and oppression of the Spirit and Bible scripture, when these things point in the same direction, you better believe that God is doing something. that we can hear Him. We often struggle to hear God's voice. How do we know it's God's voice? I have that question to me throughout my ministry. I used to say it. How do we know it's God? And the thing is about it is we would know it was God as a sheep would know the shepherd's voice if we spent time with the shepherd. Understand? Here's Gideon here. He knew the stories again. You hear the stories, and I keep saying that because we have to continue to really express on what God has done in our lives to others. I need to spend more time with my children and say, let me tell you this story about what God did. Let me tell you this story about what God did. It's a beautiful way to build faith and confidence in what God is and who He is in us. Here's Gideon. He says, Lord, I need a sign. Gideon was going up against a mighty army. They could see down the valley where the Midianites were. They could see way down in there. Say, whoa, this is going to be tough. And Lord, you're calling me? Well, in the midst of it all, he says, I need a sign. We struggle to hear God's voice because we don't know Him. We struggle to know His will because we don't know Him. We struggle with these things. And in the midst of all this, before all these signs, God even took the army down to 300 soldiers. And Gideon's like, woo! So this is what happens. How did God speak to Gideon? God provided evidence of a burnt offering he was going to provide. God provided it. And if you've been in church very long, you've heard of this. I've got to put a fleece out. You've been in church very long, you ever heard of that? I got to put a fleece out. If you have been in church, that's just something common a lot of times in stories. I got to put a fleece out, see what happens. So basically, Gideon told the Lord, says, Lord, I'm going to put a fleece out. And I said, in the morning, if it's wet and the ground around it's dry, I know it's you. But then he went the next night, he says, but Lord, that's really not good enough. I'm still having a struggle with this. I'm going to say, if the ground is wet and the fleece is dry, then I know it's you. Then I know it's you. And of course, that's what happened. God was gracious. God was wonderful and showed him that. And even in the midst of him headed down to war, he overheard one of the Midianites, and the dream was interpreted that God was going to deliver Israelites that day. So through all of this, God wanted to show Gideon, I love you. I don't want you to have fear. I don't want you to fear this. I have called you. He says, I am with you. I am with you. God's army through out of Gideon, they begin to blow out of trumpets, and there's a lot to this story, and they break out of bottles and things like that. And God delivered Gideon that day. God did mighty things that day out of a little boy that was raised on a farm that said, I'm the least of anyone for you to call. And fear gripped him. I'll say it again. When fear grips us, we're going to miss what God has for us. I was in a college, and we went on a leadership retreat, and we had to rappel down a big hill. It was a big mountain. It's the hill. I should have said big mountain. This makes it sound better, doesn't it? But it was way down there. And they're looking over again. I'm looking over like, whoo. So you put all this stuff on with a rope, and you just got to jump out on the side, and here we go. Fear. Lord, either this is really you, or I'm just stupid. I don't know which one it is yet. And don't y'all answer that. But fear. We do all types of stuff. But in life, that was a choice. I could have done it or not. It wouldn't really have mattered. But in life, our fears will come back to haunt us. Isn't that an interesting statement? They haunt us at the moment, and they will come back to haunt us even more. It's when we don't move when God calls us to move. And you know, says, Tim, I really don't know what you're talking about. And the answer to that is, that means that you're not even listening at all to God's voice. not even listening at all to God's voice. Let me ask you this question. When's the last time that you really knew that God was speaking to you, was moving you, was directing you? When's the last time? When's the last time for me that I really knew that God was doing something, was moving, wanted me to do something, wanted me to, I don't know, whatever, to witness to someone, or to give such amount of money to someone, or go buy some food and just show up at someone's house and said, I just want to just give this to you. When was the last time that you really felt God in your spirit, that you could tell that he is saying something? He's really saying something. We've lost the understanding of God's voice because we don't know him. We don't know him. And we come and sit and we go day by day by day doing our stuff and never nothing. Here's the thing. I just really do believe, as we're walking and in what we're doing, is I really do believe if we just do the same thing over and over and over again, we're not listening to God's voice. So there's might be any fear at all, because we're not listening for him us to move us somewhere. Let me hurry. The Lord loved him so much, he gave him the desires of his heart and those signs. In Isaiah it says, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God. Isn't that beautiful? The Holy One of Israel, your Savior, I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Assyria in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight. Listen to this. If you're struggling today, it says, because you're precious in my sight and honored and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Listen to what he says in Isaiah. Here he is. Do not fear, for I am with you. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the darkest valley or the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Jesus says it this way, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Think about it. Finish with this. When we have fear, doesn't a familiar voice comfort us? Think for a moment. When you was afraid and had fear, and you heard a familiar voice, what did it do for you? Come on. Did it comfort you? If it did, say amen. You heard something. You heard a familiar voice. I know for me, when I was deer hunting, I started when I was age 9, and I was scared half to death being in the woods by myself. If Randall was in here, he would laugh and tell you some different stories about it. There was something about when I heard the four-wheeler crank up, it was my daddy coming. It's going to be okay now. You know what I'm saying? I heard something familiar. And in our fears, God speaks. Ah, that's familiar. I'm going to make it. I can do this. I can do this. What God's called me to. There were some disciples in the storm. These were fishermen. They knew what they were doing. The storm was so violent that they was going to lose that ship. They knew they were going to lose it because they had experienced it. And out of the storm, here comes somebody. They said, oh, it's a ghost. What'd he say? Do not fear. It is I. Basically, Jesus says, I am with you. Got in the boat, calmed the storm. Through sickness that you're dealing with, finances, major decisions, you're sitting here and you need Jesus and salvation, and fear is wrapped all over you. The Lord is here, and he is with you. As Thomas said, I've got to put my hand in the scars or I won't believe. And what did Jesus do? That's sorry, Thomas. He showed up. I said, here you go, Thomas. I want you to believe. That's how much I love you. I want you to believe. And I was headed to Tribeca. They was up here early, I think. I said, Lord, this is a big step for me. I'm as ignorant as the day is long. I got to go to college up in Nashville, Tennessee. This is scaring me half to death. This is about years ago when Shoney's was in the mall area. I miss Shoney's. You miss Shoney's? I miss Shoney's. Amen. See, that's the only amen I got today. I go into the mall with some friends into Freeman's, the jewelry store, remember? And I was just kidding around. My friend was looking for a ring, and I just saw this big man's ring. I don't like rings. So, you know, I said, if I wasn't going to Bible, I called it Bible college. They realized it wasn't even a Bible college. It was just a college with a religion department. I said, if I wasn't going to Bible college, I would go to that. I would buy that ring. Because I worked at Horton Homes, making all that good money back in the day, you know. And the guy says, what school are you going to? I said, you never heard of it. It's a little school up in Nashville, Tennessee. He said, it wouldn't be Tribeca, would it? He said, there was no Nazarene churches in this area. I said, yeah. He said, I just graduated from there. I was able to ask him every question that I needed to ask, and he answered it. And I walked out there. I was walking through the mall with tears just rolling down my eyes. I said, Jesus, thank you. Doubt is not a necessarily a bad thing unless you camp out there. I think doubt sometimes gives God the opportunity just to be more God. You know, you're probably saying, well, the pastor said that I can doubt all I want to. You know? Be a Gideon. Recognize this. Recognize this. We can't do it. Recognize we can't live holy and righteous. It's only through Jesus Christ that makes us righteous that we can live righteous. Understand that? What fear do you have today? Fear of forgiveness? That keeps coming to my mind for some reason. Let God be God. It's tough, isn't it? It is. It's hard. I've had people sit in my office and just tremble in fear like I'm so fearful of this. But God is faithful. Say these words. Why? He says, because I will be with you. Will you stand? We're going to sing about his goodness. I want you to bow your heads. I mean, doing. Please don't rush out. This is an important time. The restaurant can wait. I'm going to bow your head for a moment. Just let the Lord just to do a work in your life. Right now. You might want to just slip out of your seat. Just step out of your seat and come down and say, Lord, and allow him to be with you today. Allow the Lord to come. If you're lost and undone, today's your day for salvation. You've heard the gospel today.
We approach God this week of Thanksgiving in 2019, with hearts of gratitude, filled with gratitude for what he has done, what his word tells us. But we also approach him with thanksgiving that he doesn't leave us as orphans. He doesn't abandon us to our own devices. He guides us. He directs us through his word, through the move of his spirit, maybe through the lives and the words of others. But we're thankful that today we can trust him. We hope you have a great week. Thank you for joining us. Be blessed.